We're talking today with Dr. Amy Hagerman, of course, from Oklahoma State University. Amy, you've been following the developments on the Farm Bill as it was worked on by the House and the Senate. The conference signed into law now. We had, of course, the start of the implementation shut down by the partial government shutdown. We're open again. Finally, we're going to see this thing, I guess, the rules and regs and all the details put into place. What are you anticipating? What are you watching right now as this thing, you know, goes to this next step of implementation?
Yeah, I think we really need to watch the Code of Federal Regulations right now, because that's where we're going to see the next round of details come out on these programs. We have the broad brush strokes. We kind of know what they might look like, but that's where we're going to start seeing those details that will really help people make decisions. So I'm watching the Code of Federal Regulations.
So what on those broad strokes, as you mentioned, what are the things that are different in the 18 bill versus the 14, particularly on the safety net?
Yeah, I think the first thing is the flexibility that's in ARC and PLC this time around. People will be able to make their decision for the 19 and 20 crop year, and at this point it looks like we might be pretty far into the 19 crop year even before that decision is made. But then starting in 2021 and then 22 and 23, they'll be able to switch back and forth between ARC and PLC depending on what these market prices do over the next couple of years and what that might mean for revenues on the farm and whether price coverage or revenue coverage is better on the farm. Another thing that I'm watching really closely is this grassy cropland change that was in this farm bill, where you've got land that was continuously in grass across an entire farm to 2009 to 2017. Those base acres will be able to sign up for a different program for those grass acres than ARC and PLC. So I'm also watching that very closely for details, because we've got a lot of land that might be rolling out a CRP in a couple of years too, and to just figure out how those programs can interact.
You know, we've got a lot of acres in Oklahoma that have kind of gone into flux, whether you're talking about wheat over to corn or soybeans in a lot of our counties, southern counties, more and more cotton acres. There are a lot of decisions being made even now by producers.
Yeah, absolutely. There are going to be a lot of decisions that need to be made. There are changes in loan limits, and there's going to be changes in crop insurance that are going to affect those decisions of whether you're going to shift from one crop to another and what makes the most sense for an individual producer. We also had this change in base that happened with the move over from generic base to unassigned and other kinds of crop base, including the seed cotton base. So there's a lot of decisions there as well, and just the whole shift in mindset and thinking about seed cotton, unginned cotton, as an individual price that's a composite of lint and seed.
You know, the prices. Obviously, you alluded to the fact that we've got challenges on crop prices. They're relatively low. What does that suggest to you as far as when farmers start looking at the two options, the PLC versus ARC? Low prices, what does that push them to?
So I think just looking at the 19 crop year and the expectations in this crop year, there may be several commodities for which the price loss coverage program is going to make more sense. But don't completely discount the ARC program. We may have a couple of commodities, and seed cotton is one of those commodities, where we could see ARC making some sense for some of our producers in different counties. But again, this is an individual county decision. It includes individual farm information, and people just really need to work with their FSA agent to figure out what's best for their farm in their county.
I guess a lot of these decisions will be predicated on some of the numbers as they're starting to be filled in, right?
Oh, absolutely. Every month we get new price information, and every month, you know, as we wait for these signups to begin, every additional piece of information on prices and on expected yields and what the weather tells us that might be, those are all going to factor into what that decision should be.
On a historic basis, in other words, when you look back to the last couple of two or three farm bills, It seems that, of course, the 14, we really established these two safety net programs, PLC and ARC. But you go back further, the flexibility that farmers have today, go back to what, the 96, the Freedom to Farm Bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot more flexibility now just in terms of being able to choose between multiple programs. And then in this new Farm Bill, the ability to change that choice from year to year. In the one sense, that's really nice. It gives them the ability to respond to the market and what's happening. But on the other hand, it's a lot more paperwork and a lot more decisions for farmers to make across that time frame.
Crop insurance. Any big changes that farmers need to be paying attention to that they've got to make decisions on?
Yeah, I think there's two. There's not a lot of big changes in crop insurance, but the two I see that would have an impact on us here in Oklahoma is first is this ability to get insurance on acres that are both grazed and harvested. So for our winter wheat producers that run stalkers, this could be a big change for them where they would have the option to pick up, say, a rainfall insurance and then also still have a grain insurance as well. The other thing is there was some changes related to cover crops and good farming practices and encouraging good farming practices that, again, just waiting to see how those details work out. But that could be another one for our producers who do utilize cover crops that they could get some benefits there.
So those things are things that are still to be determined, right?
Right, absolutely. All of this is really in flux at the moment as we wait for the final rules to come out from USDA.
Yeah, we just heard from our state FSA director that nothing's in place yet, and he really can't say too much, but I guess it's going to be a waiting game. It's going to be a while, right?
It is. It's going to be a little while. You know, the shutdown really affected the timing. These things are pretty detailed as you go through the process. You have to write up the rules. You have to publish them in the Code of Federal Regulations and implement those. And then you have to give proper notice and allow timeline and people to collect the appropriate reports. It is a lot of steps to get from where we are when the bill is signed to when we finally have sign-ups finished. And that shutdown sure didn't help us in terms of getting those steps done in a timely manner in this crop year.
I know you've anticipated doing some meetings. How's the schedule working out right now? What are you planning as far as interactive meetings for producers?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, we got a lot of interest in this farm bill. And so particularly leading up to those sign-ups that will happen sometime this spring and summer, we're really looking at several meetings in individual counties in April and May, probably be at some of the industry association meetings, like we're going to be at the Peanut Expo later this month. So, you know, if you're interested in having a farm bill talk, I'm happy to come out. Just talk to your county agent or talk to your industry group representative, and we'll see if we can get something on the schedule.